They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax coming to you from the heart of the Mosaic District in Fairfax, Virginia. And joining us today on the Commons, we have Dr. Robin Hune. Robin is in Las Vegas, Nevada. She's had a lot of experience in HOAs. She is currently on the board of her homeowners association. And she's been watching what's been going on in Nevada, which has sort of captured the entire country's imagination. Robin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So you're on the board right now.
I am.
You've had a lot of experience. You've even testified in front of the Nevada Senate.
Yes, I have, during the legislative session 2011 and 2013, and these are bills that have come up before the state legislature regarding homeowner association issues, property management companies, collection companies, and whatnot. And the bills are not often homeowner friendly. And I have been there, and I have also testified as to why a bill should or should not be passed. And I will say overall, we have not been terribly successful, although this legislative session, there was one major issue that did pass, and it is very good for homeowners here in Las Vegas and Nevada.
Do you think that we can actually make these things more homeowner friendly, or is it just a really bad concept that needs to be done away with?
I do not believe that we can make it more homeowner friendly, unfortunately. I think it has gotten so far out of hand, and you know, not only are the property management companies, collection companies, and attorneys making buku bucks off of this, the legislators are, the cities are, the state is. So to do away with it would cost a lot of money from people's pockets. Initially, I think it was a great idea, the homeowners associations, and if we could go back to what it was its original intent was, sure, that would be wonderful. But I do believe that it's gotten too far out of hand, and I don't know if we can bring it back to reasonableness.
Is the concept, the notion that your neighbor can fine you for something ridiculous, a good one?
No, not at all.
See, I have no problem with a neighborhood, and I have no problem with neighbors being neighbors. I do have a problem with the statutory power that is given to a handful of people.
Yes, I do too.
And I think that concept, I don't know, I can't see that as ever working, no matter what we do to it.
It does. I can't see it working either, and one of the reasons that I got on the board was to hopefully make some changes and make the neighborhood more friendly and, you know, conflict resolution as opposed to fines and transparency, so the neighborhood knew what was going on with the association, and was not able to accomplish that at all.
Oh, you weren't?
Pardon?
You weren't. It didn't happen.
No. It did not happen. On the board, there are five people. Usually there are, you know, an uneven amount of people. And I was in the minority, and sometimes I was the only one who voted, you know, for, fairness within the community. And so I was always outvoted. And it was very frustrating. So it has been 2 years. This October is the new election, and I will not run again.
So you are currently on the board?
I am currently on the board, and I have been for 2 years. And I get calls, I get knocks on the door all the time from neighbors who, you know, want me to do something. And my hands are tied, again, because oftentimes it's, you know, me against six other people or me against five other people or four other people. So I'm always voted down. I'm always in the minority with my thoughts and what I would like to have happen in the neighborhood.
I was in your position about 20 years ago when I first got involved in all of this. One thing that I did was we had a newsletter. And as a board member, I made sure that I had something in every issue of the newsletter. And I talked about what was being discussed, what was in front of the board. And I talked about both sides of the issue, what the opponents of the issue said and how I voted and why I voted the way I did. But I put both sides out there. And I put this out every single month because the newsletter went out every month. And we had a 9-member board, and when I got on it, the votes were all 8-1. And you can guess where I was, the one. By the end of the year, the votes were 9-0 most of the time. I did not change my position.
They did.
I did not change my position. They did.
Wow.
I never attacked them. I attacked ideas, and I put all the ideas out there. And I wrote about them every single month. You know, here's what we talked about on the board. Here's how the vote went. Here's why I voted the way I voted. And I used to make sure that there was a recorded vote so that people knew who voted how and what the issues were.
Wow.
But again, it took time to write the article, but I did not have to distribute it, and I did not have to send it out. That was done by the association.
Right, right.
Unfortunately, we don't have the newsletter anymore. I mean, it comes out 2 or 3 times a year because, quote unquote, it was too expensive. Actually, the ads paid for it when I was on the board, so it was not an expense. But it's a way of not getting the information out. You know, now they expect everyone to go to the website. It doesn't work.
Well, there is no website here. they are working on it. And there is a newsletter that has changed with the new president, who has brought in a more positive feel to the board, which is very nice. And but prior to that, the newsletter was just very punitive, and
yeah.
You know, it was don't do this. Don't leave your trash can out. Don't do, you know, remember, you know, do this, do that. And I just, I try to make a change with the newsletter, and it was not received anyway.
Yeah, it's really very difficult. It really is difficult. I was lucky, and I found that, first of all, I was one of two of us who were writing a weekly or a monthly article. And then some of the others jumped in. They weren't quite, you know, they weren't quite as conscientious about doing it, but they did start writing as well. And we started talking about the issues and what the issues would do and how it would affect people. And that's when people sat up and started listening.
Very nice. Very good.
But it doesn't, but the thing is, it's, you know, you can't make a career of it. And you're going to have the people who have the opposite idea who are going to want to come back. And so I think of it as a ping pong game. You know, the ball's on one side of the table, and then it gets batted to the other, and then it gets batted back again. So it's just, it just bounces back and forth. There's never any real harmony. There's never any solution. There's never any acceptance of any one way of doing it. You've got the people who are punitive, who are going to be breathing down your neck because you don't live the way they think you should live. And then you have the other people who say, just get out of the way and leave things alone.
Yes.
You know, take care of the common areas, leave private property alone.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, that's the battle, I think. That's the real battle, isn't it? The common property versus the individual private property.
Right, right. And, I was there for the homeowner, and there were a couple of other people, I believe, who were there wanting to, you know, do the best for the community and the homeowners. And then the rest, who have been on the board for many, many years, were there to enforce the CC&Rs. That was their job, to enforce the CC&Rs. And, you know, to me, that was, you know, the CC&Rs are kind of the, I don't know, are not as important in within the community.
Well, the thing is, most CC&Rs that I've ever seen give the board the, allow the board to enforce them, but it also allows the homeowners to enforce them equally.
Yes.
So if you have a cracked flower pot on your front porch, I don't want someone using my money to go after you. I don't care about it. You know, the flowers in the cracked flower pot are gorgeous. You don't see the crack until you get right on top of it. And people shouldn't be right on top of it. I mean, it, you know, it's just silly.
Exactly. They should not be. One philosophy that I have heard is that a neighbor should not be concerned with anything that they can't see from their front porch. And I liked that a lot. You know, it made a lot more sense. You know, why is someone who lives, we have a large community, you know, 6-7 streets away, concerned about what I have on my front porch? You know, It doesn't make sense to me.
Did you see the article about the association in Texas, I believe, that is using Google Earth to check and see what's in your backyard that's not visible?
Yes.
And then fining people for it?
Yes.
Isn't that ridiculous?
And that is an invasion of our constitutional rights. And unfortunately, when people sign the CC&Rs and they buy their home in the an HOA community, they don't realize that they are giving up many of their constitutional rights to live there. And you know, the association has the law on their side. They can do that.
Well, associations have been losing a lot of cases. Associations have been acting outside the scope of their authority because they think they can do anything they want. And I think if you have some good attorneys who know what they're doing and are willing to take the case, they can win. They can win. The homeowners can win and do win.
Yes, because there are judges out there who live in HOA communities that have been harassed.
Yes.
There are experts out there that, you know, live in the HOA community and have been harassed. So you know, people have firsthand knowledge. In my community, I was sued by the Homeowners Association, and the judge said, you know, he'd been harassed by his HOA community.
Oh, really?
He liked the way that, you know, my house looked, and he dismissed everything. And so, you know, but the HOA did not like that, so they took it to the state Supreme Court. But they didn't like his ruling. But,
gee, I wonder why.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, you know, more and more people, you know, and it's not unusual to be somewhere, I don't know, on a grocery store line or something.
Yeah.
Talking to somebody and, you know, that comes out.
Yeah.
You know, how much, you know, what they're being hassled or they don't like it or.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing that for years, 20 years. Homeowner Association, and they all look at you and scrunch up their face. I hate mine.
I know.
Why are we continually shoving them down people's throats? It's beyond me. So why did your HOA sue you, Robin?
Well, goodness. I did two additions to my home. The first addition, I got verbal,
approval.
Thank you very much. I got verbal approval to just go ahead and start before everything was signed off. And, so that was the garage. So I started, you know, breaking up the concrete in the driveway and, you know, whatever, and added a couple of rooms in a new garage. Not a problem. Added to the other side of the house and again got verbal approval to get started, which was, you know, breaking down the block wall and, you know, things like that. Well, then they came back saying that I could not have the air conditioner on the roof, which I had initially planned, but before hearing from them realized that it was a big mistake to do that, that, you know, I'd have to have a crane to come and put it on the roof, and, you know, it was like, okay, this is too much of a hassle, we'll put it on the ground. Plans were changed with the city. And they came back with an injunction for me to quit building. That went to the court. The very first day, the judge asked, you know, do you have an air conditioner on the roof? I said no. My attorney said no, she's never had an air conditioner on the roof. And they said, well, everybody knows that she had an air conditioner on the roof. It was like, oh, gosh, you got to be kidding. And the judge then said, well, you know, that's it, no injunction. She doesn't have an air conditioner on the roof. And then they went in with, well, Your Honor, she did not provide us with the appropriate landscaping plans. And so and she has a wooden gate, and she has pots in her front yard. And so we had to go back, and I had to show the judge another landscape plan. And then we had to go back again. I did not go back. This is a third time. My attorney went, and the HOA attorney never showed up. Well, I shouldn't say that. The HOA attorney showed up after the judge had said, okay, well, that's it. We're done because the attorney's not here. The HOA attorney is not here. And she showed up at the last minute, and the judge said, okay, we'll meet one more time. And the HOA attorney never showed. Oh. And so the judge said, you know what, that's it. We're done. She keeps her, you know, the landscaping the way it is. She keeps her wooden gate. The pots can remain, you know. I had pictures. He said, I really like the way that everything looks. It's a beautiful home. You know, I don't know why anybody would complain about it. And because of that ruling, the HOA attorney took us to, took me to the Nevada Supreme Court, and at that time had to do mediation. And I wish that I had never done the mediation. I wish I had not agreed to it, but I did, and had to show another landscape plan, and they were supposed to give me back all of my fine money. They did not give me back my fine money, and they did not approve the plan that I sent in. So, but everything kind of dropped. I did eventually get my money back, and nothing has been said about my landscaping since. And, ironically, last May, I entered our house into a landscaping competition through the Water Authority here in Las Vegas. And our house won second place.
Wow, congratulations.
I know, thank you. So they thought that it was worthy of an award.
And your association decided to take you to court over it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So wooden gates aren't allowed? Or was it just that your wooden gate that wasn't allowed?
Oh, no, there are not supposed to be any wooden gates in the community. There are, but there are not supposed to be any. Now, here was the thing. As soon as my home is the very first home that is seen when a person drives into the community. And the reason for not wanting the landscaping the way that I wanted it to be was that I set a precedence for the entire community.
Yeah.
And that's not the way they wanted the community to be represented.
Oh.
So, yes. So.
Oh. Let me ask you something. I'm going to take you down just a slightly different path because this sounds very similar to another case here in Virginia. But, and this did not go to court. Fortunately, we managed to prevent that. But, and the homeowner won. But, one of the issues is that everybody had Mexican gardeners, landscapers, people who would come in and take care of it. And the homeowner in Virginia is a landscaper and does all kinds of gardening, and she has one of the most absolutely gorgeous gardens that you could find. Tons and tons of plants and flowers and pots, and it's just absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. By far the most beautiful yard in the development. And after the association got through harassing her, some of the homeowners came up to her and they were absolutely livid because she was the one who was actually doing the gardening, and she was devaluing property in the association. Everybody else hired gardeners to come in and do it. There was this really snobby stuff that went on.
Oh, well, you know what?
Can you believe that?
I do believe it.
Yeah.
Yes. I do believe it. Yes. Yes.
That wasn't an issue with you. You did your own gardening and nobody cared, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And I will say my landscaping is different because I have many huge saguaro cacti. That are usually only found in Arizona and a small part of Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And they're just exquisite. They're these big mammoth things, and they've probably been alive for with the arms that they have on them, probably close to 100 years old, a couple of them. And you know, because I don't have the traditional grass and plants and big trees, you know, the HOA did not care for what I had. And you know, I live in the desert. I think my property should be you know, environmentally fit for the desert. You know, I use very little water, and you know, but you know, that was not acceptable. And I do believe what you said about this woman.
Oh, it was it was incredible. So they didn't like the pots in your front yard. What was wrong with the pots in your front yard?
Well, at the time, some of them did not have plants in them because it was not the right time of year to plant. And I had a lot of pots in my yard. So a lot of my plants and cacti are in pots. I just like the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not supposed to have empty pots in the front. But you know, they could not see above and beyond that it would be, you know, there would be plants in them within a couple of months. And so that was also part of the problem.
Radio Fairfax, you're on the Commons. I am Sue Bartholomew. Today we're talking to Dr. Robin Huhn. Robin is in Las Vegas, no, a Henderson, Nevada resident who's been through the courts with her HOA because she had pots in the front yard, and some of the board members didn't particularly like her landscaping, so she's been through the courts. She knows firsthand what it's like to be targeted. And she got on the board, so she's seeing it from the other side as well. So, Robin, how long did all this court stuff last? I mean, how long was it from when you started trying to make improvements and additions to your yard, to your home, till it was all over with?
Close to 2 years and $20,000.
Did you get your $20,000 back?
I did not. I got mine eventually, and it was just a couple of months ago. I got my $900 back in fines.
$900 in fines, huh?
Right. The judge did. He ruled in favor of me, but said that each party should take care of their own legal fees.
So there's nothing in Nevada law that says that the prevailing party is entitled to fees and costs, right?
No.
Oh, that's too bad, because you could have got your $20,000 back.
Wouldn't that have been wonderful?
You know what? There's an association in Virginia. We're going to hear from the homeowners. I get emails, and the Ferrans have been on before, but they ended up going to court, and it was the association that initiated the lawsuits, and the Ferrans won every one of them. And the association had to pay them their reasonable attorney fees, and I don't think the judge balked at any of the attorney fees, and the court costs, to the point where the association had to declare bankruptcy.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And that associate, we're going to hear about what happened. I don't want to give it away, but we're going to hear about what happened. So, you know, they've got a template for how to do this, or how they did it. And they're going to come on and share it with us soon, hopefully.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that neat?
That's great.
Isn't that neat? So
yeah.
There is hope out there, guys. You just have to be willing to take a deep breath and go for it.
Yeah.
And now, go for it. Yes.
Yes. And in the community, there are some people in the community that, you know, blame me for the dues going up.
Of course.
And, and you know, and do are not, you know, are not open to hearing that it was the association. The what still goes around in me in the neighborhood, and this is what 3 years later, is that I was the one that sued the HOA, and that's why our dues have gone up.
And you weren't. You were sued.
I was sued. Yes. Yes. And I did everything that I thought I was supposed to do. I have told people in the community, if you want to do something, submit your plan, and if they give you a verbal okay, go ahead and get started. Do not get started with a verbal okay. It will come back to bite you. So, you know, can't do that.
Record it. Record, you know, tape recorder. When you're dealing with an HOA, a tape recorder is vital.
You know what? Yes, it is. And it's only recently, the last couple of years, that here in Las Vegas that we, as homeowners, can do that. Like in a meeting, we can record. Prior to that, we could not. So a homeowner now can go to the meeting and record what goes on. And, you know, yes, I would encourage anybody dealing with their HOA to make sure that they record everything, because it does get twisted.
There's a little, like a remote keyless entry for a car. That is, in fact, an extremely good video camera and audio recorder. And there's no light that goes on, so it looks like you're holding your car keys.
Oh, I love it.
And you can start recording. So it's not threatening. You've got this gizmo in your hand and you're recording a conversation. It will back you up later if there's a he said, she said situation.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I know that there are some small recording devices, but I like the fact that it would also videotape as well. That's good. There have been times during the executive meetings that it would have been nice to be able to record some of the things that the board members say about the homeowners. You know, some very rude, negative, just horrible things.
They're nasty. They're nasty.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
yeah.
Robin, you live in Nevada.
Yes.
I live in Virginia. I've heard from people across the country. Why is it that so many board members are exactly the same? Why is it that they're nasty? Why is it they're mean? Why is it they're obnoxious? What is it with these people?
I wish I knew. I think a lot of it is has to do with power. Maybe these are people who have never, you know, been able to be in a position of authority in their life. Maybe they were kids who were bullied on the school grounds. And now, you know, they're in a position of authority. They're in a position that they can bully. It's hard. I don't know. And it amazes me that, you know, year after year, the same people get voted back onto the board. And other people in the community will come to me and they will complain and they will say, can you please bring this up? You know, can you please do something about this? But don't use my name.
Yeah.
I don't want them to know who I am
yeah.
because I don't want them to come after me.
They're afraid of being retaliated against, yeah?
Yes, definitely. And that's sad, you know? So these are people who want changes made, but they're so afraid that they won't speak up and they won't, you know, they won't run for the, for offices and, you know, try to help make these changes. And, you know, sad, very sad.
It sort of, it's, it gets you to a dead end, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
It sort of dead ends because of the fear?
Yes, yes. And there is a lot of fear, and it's unfortunate.
Now, so you bought a house and you tried to make additions and make it comfortable and make it yours. Put
exactly.
The Robin Hewn stamp on it and say, this is where Robin lives.
Exactly.
And that, of course, we all know is just no good when it comes to HOAs because you can't have an individual personality. You've got to be a cookie cutter all the way.
Exactly.
So you went to court. You won, but it cost you $20,000.
Yes, it did.
You ended up getting on the board, but beyond that, you went beyond taking care of your own problems, beyond working in your own association, to trying to do something for the entire homeowner population, really, not just in Nevada, although you did testify in Nevada, but you've also been on the national scene as well.
Yes.
And you've talked to a lot of people and you've heard from a lot of people. What are you hearing? What are the stories that you're getting? What do people need? What's the most heartbreaking?
The stories quite often are basically the same. They're basically the same story. They're harassed. And quite often it's for just ridiculous things. You know, weeds, the trash cans, the, you know, the this, the that, the, and all of that gets carried away. And what happens, too, with some people is that, you know, after a while of being harassed, they dig their heels in and say, you know what, forget it. I'm not doing anything. I'm, you know, and so they don't make the changes that the HOA wants done. You know, they don't remove a bush or whatever. And then it escalates into something, you know, much bigger than it initially was. I've heard from people, phone calls, emails from all over the United States, all over. And the stories are heartbreaking. Some of them are from people that have fought their homeowners association and literally gone bankrupt because of it. People who have lost their homes over it because they've gone bankrupt and they can't keep their home. There are quite a few elderly people that are harassed. And the HOA, I believe, likes to harass the elderly, you know, because they can get money out of them because, you know, they don't want to be bothered, and it's easier to pay them than it is to stand up for themselves and their rights. I have had people call me with saying that they have had, you know, death threats against them from the Homeowners Association. One of the people who called me was a woman in her late 70s. And just petrified because her HOA was, she would keep getting these random calls that they were going to kill her. I mean, come on. I mean, this is sad. I just spoke with a gentleman early this week who is fearful of his life because, you know, he's been shot at. And
he's been shot at?
Yes. And
by whom? By the board?
He believes.
Wow.
He believes. I mean, it's, you know, how do you, you know, pinpoint this? But, And, you know, there's another neighborhood here in, I'm sure there are many, but there's one here in Las Vegas in which one of the board members drives around the community with a gun sitting next to him. And he's pulled the gun on some of the homeowners when they've questioned him or not done what he's wanted. And, you know, I mean, it's just scary stuff. I mean, there have been murders. You know, we know that. And there, you know, have been suicides because of the harassment. So it's out there. It's scary. I can't imagine doing something like that to another person. I can't fathom it.
Yeah, I can't either. And you guys, Dr. Gary Solomon and you, I guess, put up these billboards around Las Vegas warning people,
yes,
that HOAs were hazardous to their health.
Yes, hazardous to their health in many ways. One, because they could be physically harmed, and homeowners have been physically harmed. And two, mentally and emotionally harmed. Dr. Solomon has come up with a condition, an anxiety condition, which he calls HOA syndrome, which is like PTSD. And he came up with that after watching me and what I went through. I was stalked by the president of the Homeowners Association.
Oh, you were?
Yes, and he came onto my property. He was taking pictures, and it just freaked me out so much. I called the police, and then the next day I went down and I got a restraining order on this man. And since then, you know, especially at that particular time, I was paranoid. I was constantly looking out the window, you know, is somebody around the house? And because I'm the first house in the community, I see lots of cars go by. And sometimes they stop in front of my house. And as soon as a car would stop, my heart would just pound. It's like, oh, my God, what are they doing there? You know, what are they going to do to my home? What are they going to do to my house? I was paranoid that, you know, my home would become damaged. I became very depressed. I did not want to go out of my house. I eventually had all of my mail from the association sent to my attorney because it was too much for me to go out to the mailbox and see one more letter from the association. And that's all I could think about over and over and over again. And if somebody wanted to talk, I'd tell them my story over and over again. And anger and fear and all kinds of things. And, you know, after watching me, Dr. Solomon realized that, you know, wait a minute. You know, this is a problem. And then he would talk to other people, and they would give him the same kind of symptoms. And he pulled it all together and said, you know what? This is what's happening, and it's based on harassment by the Homeowners Association or the Homeowner Board. And, you know, so, you know, it took a physical, mental, and emotional toll on me. And to this day, I still am paranoid about people stopping in my front yard, anybody coming up to the front door. I've put up security cameras. I'm paranoid. And that's not a way to live in a community.
No, it's not. Wow. So you've actually been through all of that personally.
Yes.
You know, yeah, the heartbeats and the palpitations and all of that.
Yes. Difficulty sleeping. Oh, yes.
The HOA president, is he still in the neighborhood? Is he still the president?
He's not the president, but he's still on the board.
Oh, he's still on the board, so you actually go and work with him?
Yes.
And how is it when you're in a meeting? Do you still have the same feelings and reactions about him?
Yes, I do. and some of the other board members as well, the ones that have been there for a while. And I am civil in the board meetings, but I do not acknowledge them outside of the board, outside of the meeting. I do not want to have anything to do with them. And when there is something said that is punitive or negative or nasty against a homeowner, I will immediately jump on them. You know, they cannot say those things about their neighbors. I mean, not when they're supposed to be helping them.
It must have taken a lot of guts and a lot of courage to jump on and run for the board, knowing that these people are there and that they, the way you feel about them, the fear that you have.
Yes.
And the abuse that you took. It took a lot of guts to do what you did.
Yes, yes. And, yes. it did, and, you know, I still, you know, people still drive by the house, and, you know, my house has been vandalized, and...
Oh, it has?
Yeah, people have driven by and, you know, yelled obscene things at me, and...
Still.
Because they've only heard one side of the story. They don't know exactly what happened. And, unfortunately, someone or someone's on the board had to have leaked this, a lot of this information for the neighbors to know what was going on. So the board was not being, you know, confidential in their practices, which is what, you know, you're supposed to be. And so, you know, someone was talking about all of this when it was confidential information within the executive meeting.
Your court cases, they're public, they're public, right?
Oh, the court cases are public, yes. But this would have been prior to.
Okay. We have, one of my neighbors took our association to court in one, and I put all of the transcripts, the pleadings, the judge's order, everything on my website, because the board was twisting it the other way and giving false information. I just let them know that if they wanted to read everything for themselves, not take my word for it, because I wasn't going to tell them anything, although I was in court, and not listen to the board trying to spin it, go read it for yourself. It's all on my website. And that, I think, was interesting, because a lot of homeowners wrote back to me and said, oh, thank you for posting all that stuff. You know, we weren't getting answers to our questions. We had no idea what was being said and what was going on. And so thank you for posting it. So I just said, look, don't take my word for it. Don't take the board's word for it. Read it for yourself. So put it up on the website.
Excellent idea. Excellent.
And say, go ahead, guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to bother telling you. You can read for yourselves.
That's an excellent idea. You're much more diplomatic and solution oriented than I am, and I like your suggestions and your solutions to things.
Well, I think the thing is just put it out there. And one thing that I always tell people, you said you went to mediation and you were very sorry that you did. One of the things I dislike about mediation is that it is not public. So every time you go in, if you go in, or if I go in, and then you come up with the exact same complaints, the same issues. Everything is absolutely the same. You have to reinvent the wheel because you can't rely on what I did. You can't use what I did to support your case.
Correct.
If you go to court, it's public knowledge. It's out in the open, and you can use my case as a precedent. You can use my arguments as a, you know, to build your own case as well. And which is why I put the homeowner, when the homeowners win and they send me their cases, their court cases, I'll put them up on my website because a lot of attorneys will go and read them and use them to build their own cases. But the other thing that I absolutely, absolutely hate about mediation, and if you come up with a settlement, there's usually a confidentiality clause. And I tell people, don't sign it. The association wants you to go away. They're going to, you know, they're going to settle with you. By not signing a confidentiality clause, you're not going to lose the deal. If they hadn't done something they wanted to cover up, they wouldn't be asking you to sign that. And you don't want to cover up for them. Get it out there.
Yes, very good.
Put it out there and let everybody take a look at it.
Yes, very good. Very good. Here in Nevada, a homeowner must go through the ombudsman program in order to, you know, file any kind of complaint. And then the ombudsman would decide if there was merit to it. And if they thought there was, then they would send the homeowner on to ADR. And alternative dispute resolution. And here in Nevada, it averages for the homeowner anywhere between $10,000 to $20,000 to actually go through this program because
yeah.
they have to pay for the mediator, and sometimes it can take months. In some cases, it's taken a couple of years, you know, for it to be resolved. And in the legislature this session, a law was passed that beginning October 1st, a homeowner does not have to go through ADR. So they go to the ombudsman's office. They can either go with what the ombudsman says or not, or the ombudsman can send them to mediation, which is non-binding. And if they don't like what happens, the homeowner doesn't like what happens in mediation, then they can take the HOA to court. Prior to that, it was almost impossible for a homeowner to take the HOA to court.
There's an article on my website called So You Want to Go to ADR. I would recommend that everybody read it. It's part of it was written by Frank Short years ago, and part of it was written by myself after doing some research on ADR. A lot of people think that it's a great deal, that it's not going to cost a whole lot of money. The thing is, you have to go through the whole same process as you would in court, except you're not in front of judges who have to rule on the law. You're in front of mediators who get paid by both parties. And guess who's going to be looking for a mediator more often? Or an arbitrator more often than the other person. And the arbitrator or mediator knows which side of his bread is buttered on. So they're going to rule in favor of the HOA because the HOA is not going to go to someone who's not going to rule in their favor. They're going to go to someone who's going to rule in their favor. So the homeowners are screwed every time they go through ADR.
Yes. There is an excellent documentary about ADR, and it's called Hot Coffee. And I would recommend that anybody take a look at that. And it's almost like the history of ADR. And it begins with the McDonald's case where the woman burned herself with the hot coffee. and having to go through ADR, and people were very upset that, you know, this woman sued them. Well, this woman had, you know, third degree burns. She had to go through all kinds of surgery. She had, you know, I mean, this was a big, big thing. Very, very good. It's very enlightening, regarding the ADR, process.
Robin, would you believe we're out of time?
Okay, well, I said I didn't think I had enough to talk about.
And I told you, you did. Robin, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, well, good. Same here. And Shu, thank you so much for what you are doing and what you have done for homeowners.
Oh, I enjoy it. So. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.